Brady Shea is going to score a goal, or I am actually going to lick a Ranger.
It's a lot harder to identify an angel, Beth, because that's the spiritual world. But it's much easier to quantify the data of someone who's a warrior, because they've seen war. But they're just like, by the way, the dog is kind of dangerous. Here's your children, unsupervised children, here's some pennies.
And I'm going to allow the dog to roam.
And the dog will roam free. Yeah. Best of luck. Remember to cover your neck and throat if you get knocked down. And your carotid artery above all else. There's a predator who will have an instinct. Yeah.
Hello. Hopefully for real this time. I'm a little sick. That's why you hear the the nasally deliciousness in my voice, which really the timing could not be worse. My sister gets married on Saturday. So, you know, I do need to be present and sexy for that. Hello, Michael. How are you doing today?
Do you have any duties on wedding day? Like, are you not an usher or anything?
Not an usher, but I am a groomsman. But okay. I don't have like a speech or something.
You have to stand somewhere. That's your job.
I do. I have to stand. Yeah, that's my job.
That's not too bad.
Well, if you guys don't know, last week Mike and I recorded, what was it? It had to be like an hour and 20 minutes. It might have been an hour and a half.
It was a movie. It was a full movie.
Podcast gold. Wayne Gretzky came on the show. He admitted that Bantering the Blue Shirts was his favorite and only Rangers podcast. And there's just no proof of it. Zencaster screwed the pooch on that one. So we have a backup this time, though. We have a backup method in case this doesn't go through. And it's something that I'm really proud of. So, you know, that's something. How are you doing today, Michael?
I'm doing pretty good. I played a lot of hockey last night for about like 3 hours of deck hockey. So my legs feel like noodles today. And we're working on report cards at Blue Shirt Banner Joe, and I wrote today a riveting report card on Paul Carey that I'm sure everyone can't wait to read it. It's going to be a great read about Paul Carey.
Paul goddamn Carey.
29-year-old rookie Paul Carey.
Every week I think there's going to be less and less Rangers news, and that just has not been the case this offseason, though. We've been
It's been crazy. Something every week.
Yeah, I'm relatively blessed. You want to start with some Lias?
This is such a bummer. I think it's hilarious.
I think it's hilarious.
If it didn't have like a real life repercussion, then yeah, it would be hilarious.
But what's the real life repercussion?
Is that we don't get to see him play.
He can't play.
Oh, that's right.
He aged out of the World Juniors. That's the best part of this whole thing. He's being suspended. So by my estimate, he will be suspended from the World Junior Championship for the rest of his life because he will never fulfill the 4-game suspension.
Well, forgive me if I'm mistaken here because I was spinning a lot of plates today. Will this carry over in some way to the next IIHF sanctioned tournament of any kind? I thought that was the concern.
No, because it's not for the upcoming IIHF Worlds.
So it's just
where Lias is a member of Team Sweden.
This is just nothing then.
I don't even know why. A lot of people were more angry with the fact that the suspension happened. And I mean, for those of you who are unaware, when Lias Andersson captained Team Sweden to the silver medal against Canada, when he was given his silver medal, he threw it into the crowd. There's also like a very, very short video of them handing Lias Andersson the second place trophy. And like, this is my speculation, but he looks like he's going to throw that into the crowd too. And a coach has to like come over to him and make that not happen. And he like solemnly hands it over to the coach. But it's my favorite thing that he's suspended from a tournament. He can't play in anymore.
Yeah,
that's like suspending you from
that elementary. Yeah.
You're suspended from elementary school. You can't go back. What do you care? You don't care. You're not going to elementary school. It is stupid. I agree. There's no.
I was talking with some people today about, you know, there's a very kind of infamous thing in the world of women's hockey, which, you know, I follow very closely, in the Canada-USA gold medal game, one of the Canadian defenders, Laroc, took off her silver medal. She didn't throw it into the stands or anything, but she, you know, she removed her silver medal from her neck and just held it. You know, she was very emotional and upset. And she had to, like, do this whole formal apology and all this stuff, just, like, very similar to what we saw, this kind of, you know, this pressure on Anderson and some of his fellow Swedes, including Rasmus Dahlin, I believe. And it's this, Joe, it's because it's disrespectful, Joe, to the tournament, to the other team, and to the fans, to the spectators. And my angle is...
How? Explain to me how.
They're emotional. They're human beings, especially goddamn kids. He's not old enough to drink. Him? And my whole thing is, if you don't want things like this to happen, present them their medals away from cameras and all that crap. It's just, you know, eventually you're going to run into guys who get emotional and people who get emotional.
But that's not even it. Hockey is surrounded by this culture of their awful quotes. None of the players show emotion. Everybody's super boring and by the book. And the events and the players that buck that trend, and I'll use PK Subban as an example.
And Mike
as a player with a ton of personality and somebody who, right, people just hate him. Elias Anderson does what any of us would do in a situation like that. And people just tear on him for it. And I don't get it.
Also, that lines up with his, like, that one of the big things about Anderson that made
it. His goddamn competitive nature.
Yeah, he's this fucking firebrand. I'm already cursing, Joe. Already cursing. Yeah,
and you're dropping a big one. That's for the next podcast.
Teaser.
Yeah, but you know, it's part of who he is this guy who plays with his heart on his sleeve. And you know, it's I know it sounds counterintuitive to a lot of people, especially, you know, perhaps some kind of old-time traditionalist kind of fans, but throwing, like, taking the medal off, tossing it in the stands, it's like, that's a guy who only wants gold. He only wants to win.
It was not a cliche when I said he could play for my team any day, because you want those types of people. You really do.
He's a winner.
Well, Lundqvist gets this persona too of, like, oh, he yells at his teammates and, oh, he's not a good person in the locker room, because he wants to win. He's goddamn competitive. What do you want? I'll never understand
Lundqvist yelling at Stepan, people freaking out about that. He should be. Someone's got to talk.
And those are the same people that are like, well, Ryan McGinnis is not a good leader because he doesn't really talk. He wasn't vocal enough. Well, you can't have it both ways either. Go into the goddamn corner. The only thing I will say is when that incident happened in the women's gold medal game, it made me really happy. And not because it happened a second time or because of the blowback that happened to her. But all of these Canadian journalists puffed their chests out that a Canada boy would have never done something like that.
Yeah.
No way. He would have never done anything like that. And here's a Canadian athlete who is one of the best in the sport. She's on the Olympic team for Canada.
Best defenders in the world.
Remember that the women's.
She plays like 26 minutes a night, Jocelyn.
The women's competition wasn't watered down the way the men's was because of the stupid NHL rule. So, and all these people had to either shut their mouths or be like, well, I guess it's not okay if she does it either. So that pleased me greatly. Garbage. This whole thing is dumb. He can't even play in the tournament, which makes it almost amazing that it even happened. But at, like, what point are you proving, honestly? How is it disrespectful to the other team? They don't give a damn.
I'm sure it's just
they don't care. Next
year's kids not to pull anything like this.
It's one thing if, like, instead of going to the handshake line, Elias is just giving the finger to people and he's, like, pushing guys off the line. Like, that's okay. Fine. You want to get at somebody.
Like, if he threw it at someone, like, viciously, like he fastballed metal.
Like, use it as a weapon.
Problem.
Run it over his head like a running
star. Not a problem.
Just crashed it into somebody's face.
I love his quote, though. His quote was great, which is, you know, like, I thought the guy wouldn't, like, enjoy the trophy or the medal more than I would, was something. His quote was like that. I was like,
yeah. And then he wouldn't change what he did because he's a goddamn competitor.
I like it. I want him.
I can't get a good gauge of the old school mentality in hockey, because it's like no emotion, no, got to play by the rule book. But then by the same token, oh, headshots are totally okay. And be a captain that doesn't speak but speaks. And oh, we don't want any of that emotion, but show me the emotion. I don't know what they want. I don't know what you want. And no one's going to give it to you because you don't know what you want. You. If you're listening to this and you're one of those people, you don't know what you want. Stay away from Anderson. He's my boy. It's bullshit.
It's just, all it's right, well, stupid.
Yeah, that was more than I thought we were going to spend on it, to be honest with you. But you got me good and fired up. I was good. I was fired up on that
Montgomery's one. Montgomery's going to go to Dallas, Joe.
Oh, what a smooth transition that was. But I can't. Oh, yeah. All right. Wait a minute. This is an actually good transition. We talked about this a lot last show, but we couldn't. Obviously, it didn't go up. Alex Gardner paid extra money to not let me use the soundboard.
That's right.
So I can be bought is what I'm telling you. So just come to me with, you know, whatever it is you want me to do. And I'll do it. I'll do it. But yeah, I can't use the soundboard. That was a perfect opportunity for me to use the and I can't.
You also can't imitate the soundboard.
I cannot imitate it. Well, because I'm not a goddamn soundboard, Michael. If I was a soundboard, I'd be able to imitate it, but I'm not. I'm a human.
Intimidate it.
I'll scare it into doing the right thing. That's what I'm going to do. Yeah, Jim Montgomery, who he played an interesting role in the Rangers coaching search, didn't he? He went from like outside chance as of 2 weeks ago to like, oh, the Rangers definitely interested in him a week ago, to Larry Brooks' article yesterday about how like he really impressed the Rangers and he's going to be the coach of the Dallas Stars, it would appear.
Yeah, following Hitchcock there.
Yeah, what are some of your thoughts on that, Michael?
I took a few things away from this. The first being, this is a relatively young guy, and he also had, you know, he has zero NHL coaching experience, which is something Brooks pointed out in his piece. But, you know, he won a national championship at the University of Denver. Obviously, Will Butcher is the first name that people think of as a guy who's kind of come out of that program. But he has a very clear track record, a good reputation of, you know, developing young players. He's not necessarily a new school kind of a coach, but he is a younger guy. And that all of those things, I'm mentioning all these things because we're getting a sense of maybe what some more of the criteria are in terms of what Jeff Gorton is looking for this next coach. And none of these really surprise me, Joe. Do they surprise you? You know, a guy who's good with young guys. It's almost, to me, it's almost encouraging. No NHL experience. Thinking outside the box a little. This is different.
Yeah, a little. I mean, I do think that a college coach who, and now I can't remember like if we made the point last week or not, but I guess it doesn't matter because nobody heard it last week. A college coach will rebuild his program really every 2 years, you would think, right?
You got
the seniors and the juniors age out. You have freshmen and sophomores coming in. So I do think a college coach would be ideal in the standpoint that they literally live in a world of rebuilding. And Jim Montgomery has had a ton of success. He's been a guy who's been on NHL radars for a while. Adam broke, I don't know if broke is the right word, but Adam kind of highlighted the fact that Montgomery sort of had a come to Jesus moment when it came to analytics, and has sort of moved over to that type of a mentality to the game. And I really do think that I'm very, very surprised that he's going to Dallas. It sounds like, and this is my speculation on what I'm reading, it sounds like the Rangers and Dallas made offers, or at least got to the point of making an offer. And Dallas's offer was obviously better than the Rangers was. So
it's also worth pointing out he played for the Dallas Stars in his NHL career.
Huh. I didn't know that. That's interesting. I don't think it's an enormous loss for the Rangers. I was telling this story on a thread in Twitter. In 2006, on the draft table, the Rangers had their heart set on Bobby Sanguinetti at 21. And The Flyers did too, unbeknownst to the Rangers. And the Flyers desperately, desperately, desperately tried to trade up to get Sanguinetti, and it didn't go through. The Rangers picked Sanguinetti. And if my memory of the source was correct, the Flyers were, quote, scrambling because they really didn't expect him to be off the board. And in that chaos, do you know who they selected, Michael? Did you read my thing?
Claude Giroux.
They did select Claude Giroux. And like, that's not to say that Sanguinetti is Montgomery and that whoever the Rangers hire is going to be Giroux, but like, teams cast a wide net for a reason. The Rangers have apparently interviewed a bunch of people. We're hearing there are people that nobody's even heard about, ironically enough, that have been interviewed. Dave Quinn, the Rangers have not had an opportunity to speak to Sheldon Keefe yet, which I would assume is going to happen, especially now. They got their hooks into Montgomery and obviously elected to either allow him to move in a new direction or they just couldn't convince him that New York was the place to go. So all that being said, I don't think this is a terrible thing for the Rangers. Some people thought that it was – I think Montgomery got hyped up pretty good by the media. And that sort of
I
changed this perception. You what?
I share that belief with you. I feel like, especially because I think the Post had a story go up the day before Brooks's story as well on Montgomery. It was like he was hyped up a great deal, even after there's a kind of leading voice on Twitter was that he's probably going to end up in Dallas, and then there's this kind of late surge from the New York media about how Montgomery was, you know, impressive and a good fit and all this other stuff. And then of course it ends up, he goes to Dallas. So there's a lot of people saying, oh, did we miss out on something special? But I just want to make a point to listeners. There's plenty of very promising candidates out there. In fact, there's some guys who at least, you know, I would consider more kind of attractive than Montgomery. But again, I don't know much.
Yeah, I think Keefe is still my number one, right? How about you?
He's my number one, but I also acknowledge the fact that he's kind of the nerdy stat pick, sexy stat nerd boy calculator in lingerie.
Can sexy stat boys be nerdy?
Yeah.
Or can nerdy stat boys be sexy, rather?
Sure. It can be sexy.
No troll on Twitter has ever been like that. Those goddamn sexy analytic boys.
Do you remember being a kid and typing 80085 on your calculator because it said boobs?
Yeah, goddamn right I do.
Those are good times.
I knew how to do like the equation, like whatever it was, 20 times like 15 or whatever, and minus plus, and then get to it and be like, oh, look, it's boobs. It's amazing what it's amazing what analytics were back in the 90s and early 2000s. Yeah, I just Montgomery would have been a nice fit. I think I agree with you, Mike. There's definitely – the Rangers are not – from every indication that we've had from this organization, from the quotes that James Dolan made that Mike and I did on our Patreon-only podcast, hint, hint, wink, wink, patreon.com/blueshirtbanter, to really what we've talked about to this point, just quotes we've gotten from Jeff Gordon and other members of the organization – the Rangers are moving in the right direction. They're trending towards analytics. They want a guy who knows how to develop. They're saying all the right things. And I mean, even knowing this news right now that a guy like Montgomery, who was high on my list and high on your list, isn't on the table anymore, I still have faith the Rangers are going to do the right thing. And I'm betting you do too.
I do. It just, and this, in many ways, the fact that they look this close at Montgomery kind of heartens me. It makes me think that Gordon is definitely taking a different tack than we might have seen Sather make. Or at least that's what I like to think. I don't know. It feels like that's what the case is.
It does. It absolutely does feel like that's the case, for sure, because I the Rangers, especially of late with Vigneault, have been sort of an old boys club. You know, Scott O'Neill, Ruff, and Vigneault all had relationships with one another that spanned over the years of them being in the NHL. Obviously, that strategy is not working. You know, if you hire a plumber and he comes to your house and he destroys all of your pipes and he goes, you know, I got a brother, you're probably not hiring that brother. And that's sort of what the Rangers have done through Vigneault's tenure. So yeah, go out, get a new quote, find like Joe's Plumbing or something, because he's got to be good if his name is Joe.
Of course it's Joe's Plumbing.
Yeah, so. Well, it's not, certainly not. Mike was the first guy who came and screwed up all your goddamn pipes.
That wouldn't surprise me. There's a, lot of, a lot of lackluster so. Mics out there. It's too common of a name.
But I've said this before, and I will continue to say this. I think the longer this search goes on, the better the chances are that it is Keefe, because the Rangers obviously can't speak to Keefe while he's still in the playoffs. The Marlies, I should have looked up what their series is. I'm looking right now. And of course, it does not pop up right away. The AHL, correct. I thought they were losing their series, actually. So I'm a little surprised that they're still here. Ooh, 2018 Calder Cup playoffs. Here we go. Against Syracuse. No, they made, it looks like they made the second round.
I'm sure the listeners love hearing you.
Yeah, I'm sure they do too, as I Google it.
Yeah.
Anyway, I can't even find it for all that. So as soon as he's done, I'm sure there's going to be a conversation there. And I think we've pretty much established that he's a good fit for, you know, a lot of reasons. This is not just some, oh, he's an analytic guy. Like, yeah, this is a guy who has literally been entrusted with the most important rebuild in Toronto Maple Leafs history and has succeeded at it. So, excuse me.
He's done very, very well. And he's very young. New school guy who excels at working with young players. Checks off all the boxes for me.
Although I will say, not Quinn really does feel like a dark horse here that's going to surprise us, because there is so much smoke around him for there not to be fire. I don't know how you feel about that, but that's definitely something that's in the back of my mind.
What if it's steam?
Yeah, but steam and smoke are two very different things, are they not?
Yeah, they're pretty different.
Yeah, they're goddamn different. So there you go. Enough of that nonsense.
I don't think we needed the goddamn there.
Well, yeah, you needed it because you've been bad. I'm not sure. I don't know where the coaching is going to go. I don't know where the pendulum is going to swing. I do know that the Rangers are doing this the right way. They're looking around, and we speculated among our Blue Shirt Panther group last night that maybe Montgomery's camp kind of floated the, hey, he's going to Dallas unless you do something about it, and the Rangers let him walk away. So I would be shocked if the Rangers didn't. If the Rangers desperately wanted him and they didn't get him, I would be surprised. Outside of the nostalgic pulls to Dallas because he played in Dallas at some point. Mike, one last question on this.
Yes.
Are you surprised AV didn't get the Dallas job? Because that really did seem like it was going to be the perfect fit for him.
Yeah,
and now I don't see a coaching job open for him at all,
that
really.
That did feel like a natural fit for him, especially with
natural.
The reputation he's built for his offense and a fast game and the guys that Dallas has there already. It felt like that was kind of a good landing spot for him. To be honest, I haven't spent too much time worrying about where Alain Vigneault is going to get his next job. I've been worried about other stuff. But yeah, it's going to be tricky for him, I think, now.
I don't care about others.
Well, you know.
And he's still getting paid by the Rangers, don't forget.
Yeah, he's fine. Alain Vigneault is going to be just fine. Yeah. He's probably got a sweetheart hurting. Deal with Wrigley's gum, you know.
I would switch places with him right now in a heartbeat.
Yeah, he could
just make $4 million a year for the next 2 years to sit on the sidelines. That's fine. I could.
If I had to be Alain Vigneault, but I woke up with both of my hands in blenders that were turned on, I'd still probably switch places with him.
They can never be turned off.
Yeah, it's just they're constantly chewing their way up your arm at a very slow rate.
So their blenders are actually eating you?
Yeah,
alive.
Very slowly. One, they'll stop when they get to the shoulder, but then you'll get cool robot arms. And you probably have the money.
Oh, well, you're making this way better because it's, I mean, how long is it going to take the blender to rip through you?
Ooh,
I mean, you get robot arms.
It's going to take at least 36 hours. I imagine it being slow, tedious work, especially when you got a lot of bone to work through there.
Yeah, I guess.
I'm not familiar. But then blenders have many settings. I'm sure there's a pulse setting. Like it's bap, bap, bap.
Correct. Pulse, margarita.
Yeah.
Blend. Yeah, there's a lot. All right. There's a lot going on there. That's definitely
that'll be a rough day.
That's an image. But then you get the robot arms at the end. How amazing is that?
Yeah, then you get the robot arms.
Yeah, there's absolutely nothing you couldn't
want. Sign me up for robot arms.
Goddamn right, sign up for robot arms.
There's a new Ranger, Joe.
You and I, my friend, we're on the same page because, whew, that is what I was going to say. But before we do that, what I want to talk about?
I don't know, but I'm feeling a little tired, Joe. Do you have something for me if I'm tired?
If you were tired, I did have something for you. I have a mattress.
Oh, my God.
See how perfect this is? See how it fits? The Casper mattress. Casper products are cleverly designed to mimic human curves, providing support comfort for all kinds of bodies.
Even my curves?
Your curves, my curves, Stanley's curves? He's not a human. He's not a human. He could be. There's a Stanley out there who's sleeping on a Casper mattress for sure.
I'm sure it would work for Stanley too.
They have something in common with us, Michael. They have over 20,000 reviews and an average of 4.8 stars across Casper, Amazon, and Google. Casper has become the internet's favorite mattress. You guys should be going to iTunes and leaving us 5 stars and comments too, because we're as good as Casper. They have a breathable design that helps you sleep cool and regulate your body temperature throughout the night, which is important these days because it is very, very hot. And the original Casper mattress combines multiple supportive memory foams for a quality sleep surface with the right amount of both sink and bounce. They offer two mattresses, the weight and the essential. The Wave features a patent-pending premium support system to mirror the natural shape of your body. And the Essential has a streamlined design and a price that will not keep you up at night, which is great. Free shipping and returns in the U.S. and Canada. So you can be sure of your purchase with Casper's 100-night risk-free Sleep On It trial.
100 nights, Joe?
100 nights.
Wow.
That's basically a third of a year. All you need to do is go to casper.com/blueshirtbanter, and the promo code is blueshirtbanter, which would be pretty easy to remember because that's the entire name of the show slash website. Get $50 towards select mattresses by visiting casper.com/blueshirtbanter and using the promo code blueshirtbanter at checkout. Terms and conditions do apply. So yeah,
you know what else, Casper?
What?
I heard that Casper is made out of a special fabric that is very convenient to wash blood out of if you happen to wake up with blenders on your hands.
That's very interesting. And then does it have supportive foam for the event of you having like robotic
arms
that are now twice as heavy as they were before?
If you, it'll shape itself to your new curves.
Absolutely right. Human curves.
Cyborgs are human too, folks.
Yes, we discussed this a few weeks ago. Michael Lindquist.
No, I have to ask you a trivia question first.
Go ahead. Oh, that's right.
Yeah, I let you know I wanted to ask you a dumb question about mattresses.
Yeah, I ruined the podcast.
Joe, tell me just as many types of mattresses as you can name from, we'll start with largest to smallest.
California King.
You're one
King.
For one.
Queen. Full, twin, toddler bed, crib.
Toddler bed. You said that like it was one word. Toddler bed.
Toddler bed. How'd I do?
I hate to say it, but you nailed it.
I did nail it, right? I know my goddamn beds.
There's like a couple of bullshit ones in there, like twin XL and stuff. Like those
twin XL.
You got 100.
No, it doesn't count. It's ridiculous.
The only thing I would mention is at the very end there, you forgot dog bed, smaller than a toddler bed.
I don't know about that actually, because I'm looking at Stanley's dog bed right now, and it is probably bigger than Kaylin's toddler bed.
Well, Stanley's a real dog. Like most dogs,
what are you smaller about? Like a teacup and Yorkie.
No, I just thought the medium average sized dog.
The medium average sized dog. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Stanley does have a smaller bed that's definitely smaller than hers, but yeah, I don't know.
I'm proud of you. You did very well there.
That's right. I know my beds. I know my mattresses.
Which is why you folks should try casper.edu.gov.
Casper.com/blueshirtbanter. This, by the way, right now, this is why you should donate to the Patreon. We're the professionals, right? You don't want a podcast at home. You would hurt yourself. So let us do it. Let us handle it. Pay us to do it for you. And that'll be a good thing. That'll be a good thing for everybody. Michael Lindquist.
Michael Lindquist.
One of two players in the SHL to be under 24 years old, Lindquist is 23, to be over a point per game.
20 goals in 33 games. 10 of those goals.
What are your thoughts on this?
I like this for a lot of reasons. I like this because this is continues to show Gorton being kind of creative, thinking outside the box. It shows that he's still aggressive about trying to find guys who can fit into specific roles. And this role, I think Lindqvist, it lines up as this is a depth scoring winger. This is a guy who, you know, he's not going to be a, you know, top six guy for the Rangers, but he can be a guy who contributes offensively. And when you look at how little offense the Rangers got out of their bottom six this year, I mean, especially after Grabner went bye-bye, it's this is something they need in a big way. Because I haven't watched enough. You know, I wrote up the newser today for Banter and was able to find a lovely YouTube montage about with all, a lot of his goals and big plays from the SHL this year. And I like what I see. You know, he's not very big. He doesn't have to be very big. Just I'm hoping he's a high volume shooter and that he is a guy who just kind of works his tail off. Because if he does that, he's a high
volume shooter. He's a very big volume shooter. His shooting percentage was like, it was in the 20s, I think, which was one of the drawbacks of his overall
game. I want the shot total. I care a lot less about the shooting percentage than the shot total.
But where he generates his shots are from very dangerous areas, which I think speaks volumes about the type of player that he could be in the NHL. Great stats, honestly.
He's only 5'11". I don't care about that his at career. All.
Yeah, but Zouk's like 3'5". So,
and Rangers don't have a lot of right-handed shots, so I like that too.
Yeah. I think he has an outside chance of getting to the NHL this year, but definitely someone who could see the NHL this year or next year, depending on how rebuildy the Rangers go.
Yeah, and the other free agents and, you know, what the draft looks like if they find guys who are NHL ready and all that. But it's definitely, you know, right today, writing my Paul Carey report card, I was thinking like, wow, they just they didn't try very hard here in terms of, you know, a fourth line guy who can contribute. And, you know, someone like Lindqvist is just, you know, if he's not ready for the NHL this year, you know, maybe he has the, you know, the kind of typical, he has to get used to the smaller ice surface and all that goodness. But there's definitely something to be said about finding a guy who's 23 who had those kind of numbers, and all he costs you, Joe, is money. This is just
money, and Dolan has a lot of it. So
you don't have to give up anything for this. Just pick him up, and you know he costs you money in a contract spot, and that's perfectly fine. Especially because it also goes without saying, Joe, that Hartford could also use goal scoring in a big way.
Hartford can use a lot of things. Let's be completely honest.
Yeah, Hartford. God damn it.
Yeah, Hartford needs.
They were doing so well until the Rangers collapsed, and then they, they grabbed Hartford and dragged them down with them.
And then the Rangers took literally everything from them, yeah, especially on defense. And think about how bad the Rangers' defense was. Like, who is that guy? Imagine what was going on in Hartford.
Yeah, they had so many ECHL guys and guys who were just signed for, like, you know, PTO, like, you know, day-by-day contracts just to fill shoes, really. Like when I was doing the research on what the hell happened to the Wolfpack after the trade deadline in the NHL, it was just a mess back there on that blue line. And I mean, when Sproul got called up for the Rangers, that was the point of like
no return.
Like,
really,
there's no return.
Yeah, we ran through like. Excuse me, that's awful. We ran through the defensemen that were actually playing in the Wolfpack, and like we didn't know half of the names. So that wasn't good. You want to know where else you're not going to know half of the names, Michael?
Where else are we not going to names know?
This is Joe's trivia. This is the most preparation I've done for the podcast ever. The Rangers pick 9th, which you know because you listened to Mike and Connor's live reaction to the New York Rangers draft lottery, where they saved the fact that we missed the our last podcast because of Zencaster. What I didn't realize was that Michael and
Connor did a good job.
Attack me constantly on the show, but that's a different story for a different day.
Connor did a good job. He attacked you very well, I thought.
He got his claws out like Wolverine would and just consistent attacks.
I told him he had to do all the research for the show. I just took over your role of just fly by the seat of my pants, bullshit my way through a show like you do. And he did all the work.
I hate you so much. So the Rangers pick ninth. The Rangers
number nine.
Have picked. What was the last pick the Rangers made at nine, Michael, in their career?
Jamie Lundmark.
Oh, did you know that or did you look it up?
I knew that.
Oh, good for you. Who was the pick before that was number nine then?
Oh, before that, I don't know.
We talked about it on the show last week. Brian Leetch, come on. What is wrong with you?
I don't know.
So I'm looking at the Rangers' past top 10.
I'm still on breast milk when Brian Leetch was drafted.
He was drafted in 1986. I was not alive.
I was just born and definitely drinking breast milk.
So the Rangers have picked in the top 10 a bunch of times since 1963.
Manny Malhotra.
Yeah, the past, really, let me tell you the last real win the Rangers had.
It's not Jamie Lundmark.
Before Leetch, it was really Brad Park. Steve Vickers. Steve Vickers is another one. I'll give you those guys. Anderson was picked seventh last year. McElrath was picked 10th in 2010. Al Montoya was picked sixth in 2004. And Dan Blackburn.
Dan Blackburn.
In 2001. The Rangers really whiffed in 99, but we're going to get to that in a minute.
So what you're telling me, Joe, is for this draft, Gorton just needs to take Glenn Sather by the hand, walk him into a separate room where there's a lot of coloring books and like plenty of stew and like really calm music play. Just put him in that room, lock the door, put the key in his pocket, and then make all the decisions.
I would actually have Sather choose who he wants to draft and then just don't draft those players. Those are the problem people right there. 50% of the Rangers last four since the really 2001, the Rangers have had four top 10 picks.
Manny Malhotra was a great fourth line center, Joe. How dare you?
Manny Malhotra was picked in 1998. And he was also picked, I think, seventh overall. McElrath, total bust. Al Montoya, total bust for the Rangers, at least, for everything. And then Dan Blackburn.
He's a fine backup goaltender, but you never draft a goalie in the first round.
No, and the Rangers did it 50% of the time since 2001.
You don't do it.
So that is bad.
Now, never, ever.
How many times have the Rangers selected twice in the first round in their history?
Oh, I don't know. Eight times, Joe.
Devin, nope. You were very, very close.
I was going to go down to four.
And these have not been pretty either. Anderson, Hedl last year, obviously the jury is out. Montoya, Korpikoski. Korpikoski ends up having a serviceable NHL career, but, you know, not one for the Rangers. 99 was bad. Brendel at four, Lundmark at nine. The two combined for less than 400 NHL games and less than 130 points. The Rangers got Dubay in 77, and then Lucien Dubois, who seemed like he had a pretty good career, actually. 72.
This is long before breast milk for either of us.
Long before breast milk for either of us, yeah. So, you know, not a ton of wins here, which is also not good. Do you know how many times the Rangers have selected three times in the first round?
Never. One.
Zero. Correct. Well, you just can't name like four different answers and then hope one of them is right. But the first answer was correct. So that's fine.
I believe I just did that, though. There's no ill consequence.
I know you and Connor talked about it a little bit, but
yeah.
Looking at nine, I'm not
looking at nine.
I'm not thrilled with the names that I think are going to be on. So here's the deal. To me, Dahlin. I should not have done this because I'm going to butcher these names. Svechnikov? Is that right?
Svechnikov, yeah.
Zadina, Boqvist.
Mm-hmm. Boqvist.
Whatever. Bouchard, Hughes, Tkachuk, Wahlstrom are my top eight, personally. My personal top eight.
I really love Wahlstrom.
Me too. But there's so much late season hype around him. That I'm like
I he, know.
So him and Hughes seem to be the fallers, quote unquote, but like Wahlstrom had seven goals in seven World Junior Championship under 18 games. And he was a monster in the United States developmental program. I mean, I don't even know what, like, his numbers are off the charts.
He was a true beast. He's also supposedly the best stick handler in the entire draft and one of the best, like,
scorers,
just puck carriers. Yeah. And there is some talk about whether or not he can, like, be a consistent scorer, like a consistent elite scorer, but
consistent elite scorer.
I don't care.
There's Svechnikov
and Zadina, are
the other two goal scorers that I truly think. So Boqvist, I would love if any of these guys fall. I mean, we know Dahlin's not.
I would be jumping for joy if the Rangers got Boqvist. We know
Svechnikov isn't. Tkachuk is going to probably get picked by Montreal at 3 or by Ottawa at 4. He's a guy that would be great at 9 for the Rangers, but I would not love that pick anywhere before that. Assuming these guys are off the table at 8, I think Noah Dobson has to be the next pick.
That's who Connor likes. Connor really likes Dobson.
He was one of the biggest risers in this year's draft. I mean, one of the things that you need to look for in terms of a player is their growth level, right? Like, these guys, almost all of them, have played a year in juniors or whatever league they're playing in, and then this year they've played that second year. Dobson went from 26 points in 63 QMJHL games last year to 69 in 67 games. Like, scouts were going out of their way to see this kid. Nobody rose more in terms of the stock than him. And Sam Cosentino from Sportsnet, and I quote, "Offensively, there is no limit to what he can do." I mean, that just gets you giddy inside, doesn't it? This would be a fine,
it's also hyperbole,
consolation prize. Him or Joel Farabee. I don't think I like Farabee as much as he's definitely, if Farabee is on the tier way below Wahlstrom, you know, Hughes, that top 8. For me, it's,
what about Quinn Hughes? Like Quinn Hughes?
Quinn Hughes would be, I think he'd be literally, like I said before, any of the first 8 players I named, if the Rangers pick them, great. I think Dobson, and for whatever reason, Kotkaniemi, the Finnish forward.
Yeah, the center, the young Finnish, yeah.
Those are the two guys that really, the mock draft seem to have them ranked way differently. Mm. And I've seen Wahlstrom and Hughes fall to the Rangers. I've seen Boqvist fall. He has a concussion right now, so there's some thought that his stock might fall. But I think at 9, I was really unhappy when the Rangers landed at 9. I was on my way to Foxwoods for my brother-in-law's bachelor party. Foxwoods Final 5. I really wanted the number 8 pick because somebody would have been there of that top 8.
Yeah,
at
8,
obviously, because that's how numbers work.
But you never know. Someone could goof and poop their pants, and the Rangers could get one of these guys we love, like Wahlstrom.
Which I honestly think is going to happen. I mean, I can't explain why. I have a feeling Dobson is going to get picked by one of these teams up here. I think Montreal is going to take Tkachuk. They just seem like a fit. Montreal likes the big physical play. Tkachuk is that type of a player. I think they'd be crazy to pass off on Zadina, but so be it. And then I think it's going to get a little weird. I mean, I'm going to paint a picture for you, Michael. Are you ready?
Sure. Paint.
Dahlin goes 1. Svechnikov goes 2.
Okay.
Montreal takes Tkachuk at 3. Are you frantically calling Ottawa and Arizona to see if you can, if not get Zadina at 4, get Boqvist at 5? Or are you not showing your cards and you're sitting at 9 and waiting for somebody to drop?
Yeah. I think it's a call you make. But you tell yourself you're not gonna blow everything up. Like, you're gonna, first of all, I'm sure they have Chayka's number on speed dial at this point. So
yeah, why not? Stepan's there.
Just say, hey.
Remember last year we traded you Ronta for both of nothing? You guys, you owe us. You owe us something.
We've done like 30 trades in the last 10 years. Is there anyone you want? we just want to move up the draft. We'll give you the 9 pick. And they say, well, yeah, we'll take whatever we can get because we're Arizona.
I'm going to give you a different answer. First of all, there's absolutely no harm.
Mine was cynical.
There's no harm in the Rangers calling these guys on draft day and asking about their price because they're going to pick. It's not like you're not showing your hand. Yes, you want somebody at that position. That's why. I think once you get to 5, you need to start thinking about it a little bit more because, say, Boqvist is falling. He's probably not getting through Detroit and Chicago.
No, he's not going to get through Detroit.
So you either have to beat Detroit, but if, say, Kotkaniemi, or Dobson goes in the top 5, you know what I mean? Yeah, all of a sudden that changes the dynamic because you're getting one of those fallers. And that's what I think is going to end up playing out on draft day. My gut is that the Rangers are going to use one of their late first round picks and either a second or third round pick or an asset, be it Zuccarello, Spooner, or Namestnikov, or VC, or who knows, to move into the teens. That's my bet. Because is it Dominic Bach, somebody that you're going to go after there? There's a few Russians that I think the Rangers probably have some interest in. Are they going after Sarah Noel? There's plenty of opportunities for players to fall on the Rangers' lap.
It's going to be the most fun, exciting draft.
It really is. In how long? Because
last year was great because, you know, the two picks and everything post up on trade, and it was like, oh, who are they going to get? But this is not like, all things being equal, the first 2 rounds of this draft for the Rangers they're going to be crazy no matter what happens.
Cray, like, cray.
With or without trades, it's just a flurry of prospects they're going to get. And this is a great draft. And the thing I wanted to say with you talking about like the fallers is, and I made this point to Connor, like the Rangers priority really should be wing and D.
And that's this draft is loaded at wing and D.
Yeah. And like, of course you want to do the, you know, we're going to take the best boy available, right, whoever he is.
Well, you're not passing on Wallstrom because he's a center.
Yeah. But the good news is there's a very high chance that the best guy available is either a winger or D.
Yeah, a defenseman. Give me the D. I want the D, Michael.
I am with you. Like, if I can't get Zadina or Svechnikov, I'm definitely of the mind that I'd like them to take a D. If I had my druthers, I would say a right-handed D. But, you know, if Quinn Hughes is there, I don't see why not.
You can't lose with any of them. You really can't. And I don't know if you can lose with Dobson either. I think Dobson is he's a great consolation prize.
He's a good, very good two-way D. He projects to be a really, really solid two-way D that has a lot of the tools you want.
Yeah. I
like him a lot.
I just have a feeling there's going to be some guys that are going to pop into that top 8 that we're not expecting. And let's do it. But I think the Rangers are going to pick 3 times in the first round. I just don't know what those 3 picks are going to be. You know, the other option is if those 8 guys are off the board, right?
Yeah.
Do you trade back, right, with, say, Dallas at 13 or the Florida Panthers at 15 and get another second round pick or another third round pick and then take the guy you want in the middle? And sure. Then, you know, there's not, I mean, Vitali Krastevov? I should go through this before I say these things. Him and Desenko, those are 2 guys that I would really love the Rangers to get with their later first round picks. But if they're in the middle of the draft and you don't like what you see at 9, yeah, make the move. But I really Noah Dobson has grown on me a lot, and I like Joel Farabee. I really do. So I don't think there's a wrong answer here. But I do think the Rangers are going to try to get into the top. I'm going to say the top 5 because Buffalo's not trading 1. I can't imagine Carolina's trading 2. Montreal's not trading 3. You might get 4 out of the Senators. And I don't know if you're getting 5 out of Arizona. I don't see a deal that works with Detroit at 6. Maybe you can swing something with Vancouver. And I just don't.
It's not easy. Historically,
no, in the middle of the draft, you know, you have the Flyers at 14. The Islanders are at 11 and 12. And then right now, the projection, because we don't really know, you have the Devils at 17, Columbus at 18, the Flyers at 19. You're not trading with any of them. So, yeah.
The Devils are never going to trade with the Rangers again.
Oh, I certainly wouldn't if I were them. So, yeah, definitely a lot of options there. A lot of delicious, delicious options. Michael.
What?
We answered questions last week, and we have to answer them again because
nobody
heard our response to those questions.
Questions.
And that's depressing. Let's start with our patron questions.
Because they're more important people, let's be honest.
I feel bad. Michael Silver's asked, considering what he said about Vigneault, the overall assessment of his sophomore season and now going into contract year with a new coach, how pivotal would you say the season next season is for Pavel Buchnevich? That was obviously way more timely last week. But quick answer, Mike, go.
It's a big season for Buch. I feel like this is it's probably his last best chance to prove that he can be, you know, kind of the difference between a first-line winger and a second-line winger in terms of his production and talent. It all comes down to, of course, his environment being more suitable to him. Like regular ice time, power play time, you know, playing with talented guys. And, you know, that means more Buch and more Zibanejad. Hopefully we get to see that with Kreider because that was really a sight to behold. But, you know, he is still a young guy. And in many ways, you know, if you're someone who gives players a long leash, you can look at, you know, the past 2 years and kind of say, well, Vigneault just wasted him. And in many ways, he really did.
Yeah, he did. Give him the opportunity to be confident, and I think he's going to be a great hockey player for you, obviously.
I feel like the best thing for Buch is telling him in training camp, like, we want you to be our top six winger. This is your job to lose.
Yeah, like, we're going to let you make mistakes, and, you know.
You'll make mistakes, that's fine. Make more good things than mistakes, which he does anyway, and he'll be fine.
It will be good, yeah. Alex Gardner.
It's a good question, though.
It is. This is a good question, too. Given that this year is going to be a year where the best-case scenario is a backdoor into the wild card spot, and given that Shesterkin is widely regarded as the heir apparent to Hank in a few years, would there be any sense to Gordon trying to dress up Georgiev's 10 starts behind an atrocious blue line and maybe getting some value out of him? My quick answer on this, because, and again, I apologize, Alex, we went into more in-depth last week, and the show was lost forever. I don't think the 10 games of Georgiev were enough. I think if you're going to do that, you make Georgiev the backup this year, you give him 15 or 20 games by the trade deadline, and then you try to move him, because he's only 23. So you're not losing value by using him this year. There is an inherent risk in that. What if he blows up with a bigger workload, which is possible? I just don't think you're going to get anything of real value for him right now.
I agree. He was so good in those games behind just a terrible, just poop-covered defense. But
just poop-covered.
Covered in poops, all the poop. But the real thing the Rangers have is, and we talked about this in the podcast we lost, but, you know, Mazanek is a RFA, and, you know, there's a lot of big questions in terms of what the Rangers are going to do. So I wouldn't be surprised if the best plan forward, in my opinion, really is you keep Georgiev, he's your backup, and then you maybe get an older guy, like a 25, 26 year old. You know, who not like either a guy who's looking to prove himself again, or, you know, a career AHL goalie who's been really solid. And in the event that Georgiev does blow up and he's not as good as he needs to be, you can give another guy a chance to be the backup. And hey, if you don't have a great backup for your NHL team, it doesn't matter, because as you mentioned, the best case scenario is backing up into that, backing up into the eighth spot. So if Georgiev does become something like a commodity, something the Rangers could move, that would be great. It is also important to remember, like, I want to make it clear, I'm totally on board for Prince Igor. I think he's exceptional and he's going to be great. But, you know, we don't have to blow everything up before he gets here to make room for him. But with that being said, if the Rangers can turn Georgiev into anything significant, it's something they should definitely consider. I like the idea in principle.
All right, let's go back to last week because we had questions last week. Hockey stat miner. Hockey stat miner. Over-under of New York Rangers forwards traded over the next 5 months. I think we set the over-under line at 3. And I'm under. I think they're going
to
make two trades.
You have to do the decimal. Remember? 2.5.
Yeah, you're right.
You have to do.
Sorry, 2.5 is the line, and I am under 2. I think it's going to be Zuccarello, and I think it's going to be one of Hayes, Nemestikov, and Spooner, and it's not going to be Hayes. So
I say
poop
over because they'll probably do some minor trade in addition to those trades.
Oh, God, you're the worst. You're playing by Price is Right rules, and that's stupid.
You went under. That's Price is Right rules.
Brooklyn sports guy. Projected point total for Anthony DeAngelo next season.
If he's healthy and if he's in the lineup every night, I'm going to say 39 points.
Yeah, we set the line for this as well, and I think, you know, anything over 30, I think, would be successful.
He's not going to be in the top unit because Shattenkirk, so 39 points.
I'm going to say 33 points. I think we get 33 points out of him.
You son of a bitch. Your Price is righted me again.
And I think that's the first time. You went first the second time. So
yeah, but I went over you the
first time.
Oh, wait, I understand what you're saying now.
Yeah, see, there you go. I knew it would come around.
Like if you bid $310, I said, you know what, $311. And then you give me that shitty look like
I'm going to
find your family and throw doorknobs at them.
Ooh, doorknobs.
Matt Schneider.
What do you expect out of Igor Rykov? And when? I think Rykov is going to transition to the NHL game a little bit better than maybe your run-of-the-mill prospect would, because he is playing in a men's league for SKA, one of the best teams in the KHL.
He's going to do better than Bear Glazov. That's my prediction.
Yeah, I think he's not a top four guy right away, but I do think he'll be in the NHL, not this year, but next year, because his contract ends this year. So.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I have high hopes for Rykov. I feel like, you know, the Rangers do have a lot of guys in terms of young guys who can play the left side in the mix, and Rykov is certainly one of them. But I really like what he represents on paper, just because of what Joe said. He's playing against men, playing a lot of minutes in Russia, and that's a really positive sign to me. That tells me that he's a guy who's earned his coach's trust, and you know, he's trusted on a big team. There's a lot to like there.
Yeah, I have Strawman like aspirations for him, right or wrong.
Oh, that would be lovely.
Jeff D. Who is your favorite Ranger? And if that player was an animal, what would they be? You yelled at me about this one. My favorite Ranger is Mike Richter, and he's a pangolin because pangolins they're the only mammal to have scales, and they just sit around and burrow, and they stop hockey pucks in nets.
My favorite Ranger is Michael Nylander.
Oh, that's right. Nylander. I forgot.
And if he was an animal, I would say he's some sort of jaguar.
A jaguar?
Some sort of jaguar.
All right. Now we're to the questions that came this week that are probably a little bit more timely.
I need a Nylander. You have to buy me a Nylander jersey for our friendship anniversary.
Sure.
With all of our Casper mattress money.
With all of our Casper mattress money. Brooklyn sports guy again. Instead of trading up, is it possible for the Rangers to trade for, say, Chicago or Edmonton's pick and own back-to-back picks in the top 8 or the top 10?
Technically, kind of touched on that, Joe.
Yeah, technically trading for Chicago's pick would be trading up. We did kind of touch on it. I a couple of people have suggested that, like, back-to-back opportunity, like with the Oilers. Maybe the Oilers, because maybe you can convince them that Zuccarello in the 31st overall pick is worth the 10th overall pick, but I kind of doubt it. But it's Chiarelli, so anything is possible.
Ba-na-da-na.
Ba-na-ba-na, ba-ba-ba-na-ba-na.
What was your favorite Price is Right game?
Plinko board.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, that's the best.
I love that damn thing.
Mod Ilasiv?
Mod Ilasiv.
I'm just giving Twitter names at this point. It could be anything.
That's fair.
What team do you think would make the most sense for the Rangers to target for a trade in order to move up in the draft? We kind of covered that one too, actually. A lot of draft questions. We did a good job. Your stupid brother, Connor Murphy.
Ottawa or Arizona?
Well, Ottawa would be... Ottawa...
You can tell Ottawa, we'll take your really early pick, but we'll give you so many other early picks because you need to rebuild in a big, dirty way.
Ottawa has the 22nd overall pick, too. Can you convince them that 9-31 is worth 4? Maybe, especially if they really want to Tkachuk and Tkachuk's not on the board. Maybe.
And you give him VC.
Yeah, you could take VC. I don't want anything to do with that contract.
And... you give them Lunchables.
This question from an idiot, Mike Murphy. How long could you last if you could only eat Lunchables 3 meals a day? Can we pick any Lunchable?
Yeah, someone asked a follow-up, and I said, you know, you can do 3 different Lunchables. Like, you get 3 types. So A, B, and C, but that's all you can eat. And how many days or weeks could you go?
So I got to go pizza.
Of course you got to go pizza. My respect for you is increased tenfold.
I think that's just – there's no way you can't go pizza. Pizza has to be the number one Lunchable.
It's just a cracker with pizza and cold cheese on it. It still works for me. And that very fake pepperoni, it's all good.
Yeah, it's great. Fine. So that's there. I'm going to be completely honest with you. Not a huge fan of the sandwiches, the turkey cheddar, the ham and cheddar.
No. The deli meats were very gnarly.
They're worse than like what normal, normal deli.
They're like 30% salt.
Nacho cheese dip and salsa, I think, is the next one that you need to go with.
Okay, so you have your 1 and your 2, but you're not doing sandwiches.
I'm not doing sandwiches. I have my 1 and my 2. Boy, I don't know if there's another Lunchable I'd really want.
Well, you can go with just 2 if you want. I would just go with the pizza.
Yeah, I'm going to...
And write it out.
I'm going to go with pizza. Well, no, I'm going to add the nachos because I need the variety. I think I could last like 3 days, but they would be day 2. Really, the afternoon of day 1 would be pretty miserable.
Yeah, I agree. There's definitely that point around day 3 or 4 where you're looking at it and you're just like, this is just
yeah. You're gagging. You're just gagging all over the place.
Furthermore, it's not a lot of food because it's designed for a little person.
For a child.
For a young baby child boy or girl.
Jamie bustled.
Bustled. I hustled and I bustled.
Will we move at least 2 of Zouk, Vlad, and Spooner on draft day?
Ooh.
That's a great question.
That's kind of the question we tap dance around a lot, isn't it?
I'm going to say Zuccarello faux show. I would be very surprised if the Rangers did not move Zuccarello.
You can get so much back for him. You really can.
I have a feeling they are going to trade, you know, one of Spooner and Nemestikov. I don't know if it's going to be a draft day move or if it's going to be, you know, teams do.
If you're the GM, who is it? Is it Spoons or Vladdy? Who do you think can get back? It's probably you can get more back for Vladdy.
Yeah.
Because of the Kucherov Stamkos boost he got.
I think you can get more for Spooner because Spooner had an unbelievable season.
You can't get more for he had played 20 games or whatever with the Rangers. He didn't have an unbelievable season. He had an unbelievable stretch.
Excuse me.
What was it? 16 points or 20 games?
But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not just talking about that. I have a beautiful mind. You crazy psycho. Spooner didn't just have...
Immediately, I pictured like a scene from the Russell Crowe movie.
He didn't just have 16 points in 20 games with the
Beautiful
Rangers.
Mind, you son of a bitch. I want that to be the trailer for your version
he
of
had
Beautiful Mind.
41 points in 59 games this year. I mean, he had a very, very good season.
Okay. What did Vlad have?
I understand the point that you're about to make because you're simple-minded.
Yeah, because I have a beautiful mind.
No, you have a stupid mind. How is that? That was too mean. I'm sorry.
I don't want you to buy me a Nylander jersey anymore. I don't trust you.
I think teams would be scared off by Nylander's run with the Rangers. I think teams would be encouraged by Spooner's run.
You said Rangers. Nylander's run.
Yeah, sorry, by Nemestikov's. Ah, you know, the Russians, they're all the same, even though Nylander's not a Russian.
Swedish,
So
I think they're going to trade Vlad.
I think
just because
they're going to get Vlad for a great contract.
Yeah, I agree with that too, though. Son of a bitch.
So I do think it's going to be Spooner.
I mean, if you remove your heart and your soul, right? You're just a robot. You're just your beep boop
just
made out of metal
robot.
Yeah, full robot. You trade Zuccarello. It hurts. It hurts so bad. But you're going to get so many good
toys.
You
have no feelings.
From.
You don't care. You're a robot.
Yeah.
It doesn't
blender.
Just
think about
it off your arms.
Hearts. Like I get robot arms now, yeah. And I'm enhanced. But then you have to choose between Vlad and Spooner. And Spooner's so good, but so bad defensively, but so good on the power play. You don't want him to play center, so you can tell him, Spooner, you have to play wing, and you also have to maybe figure out defense. But the problem with Spooner is he's not a young puppy boy. So if push comes to shove, I trade Spooner. I don't feel certain about it, but I trade Spooner just because I feel like Vlad's game is more balanced, and I also he has really terrible hair, and that makes me happy, and I also like that he makes Booch happy.
Yeah, I think first of all, Nemestikov is a year younger, which I guess matters in
he has
these
really
situations.
Bad hair too. He has 80s hair.
I think Nemestikov brings more overall to the game. Right?
He has USSR hair.
And I think
like
Spooner is going to be
Russian
more expensive. Like, here's the reality of the situation. I think Miller is turning into close to a $6 million man. I really do. I mean,
and that's without robot arms.
Without robot arms, I think that's what he's turning into. So if you can get Nemestikov for $3 million a year, which I don't think is totally unrealistic.
$3 million a year, you said? For how long? What's the term?
I don't know. 4 years.
Okay.
Well, you get one more big contract out of him.
I feel like, yeah.
Maybe three and a half. I don't think he's going to get much more than four.
Let's call it 3.4.
Call it 3.5. I don't give a shit. I'm crazy. I'm feeling crazy.
Price is right.
Could we get sued for that?
Probably. But what's Drew Carey going to do? Is it still Drew Carey's gig?
Well, I think it is. And now that we've name dropped him, I think it's going to get way worse. It's coming.
No, we'll just tell him we like Cleveland, Ohio, and that'll.
But he's literally listening to us right now lie about what we're going to do.
He's not listening to us. Cleveland.
Anyway. Yeah. So.
Have you ever been to Cleveland?
I have not.
It seems like a terrible place.
I think it's going to be Spooner. I think Spooner's going to get traded. That's my bet.
Spooner and Zuccarello. I would like them to choose to trade Spooner first. Especially because God, he's so fun to watch, though.
He is. I wouldn't mind if they kept both of them.
Yeah, but then if you keep both of them, you have to.
You just can't.
It comes down, and it also comes down to the contracts and, like, are you committing to both of them? Because you can't do that for damn sure.
Yeah.
Like, maybe doing something crazy like, all right, Spooner, 1 year for this, and then we hold on to you and we trade you at the deadline. Like, sign me up for that, but that comes with plenty of risks.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a tricky, tricky call.
Tricky, tricky call.
That's a good one, though. I like that.
Really
all these questions have been great.
Well, and I apologize.
Lunchable's question was the best, though.
I apologize for those of you who are asking questions last week that we kind of glazed over this week. But I definitely wanted to get to them, but obviously the timing of them was a little bit like some of them were about where do you think the Rangers are going to land in the draft lottery? Well, we know the answer to that question. So,
Joe,
Michael,
excluding your genitals and eyeballs, where is the last place you want to have a Band-Aid on your body?
Oh, the tip of my index finger.
Okay.
For sure.
Oh, yeah. I see.
Like, if you have a cut, you're saying if you have, like, where you have a wound that you're covering?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the tip of your index.
I was thinking more of the ripping off of a Band-Aid pain.
Oh, well, that's a totally different question, Michael.
Yeah, but I kind of liked your question more.
Yeah.
Or the answer that you gave. Yeah, that would suck for typing.
Yeah, it would.
That's how I make all my livings is the tippity taps.
But it's
which
it's
is why
like
I
you
want
point
robot
to things.
Arms.
You try to grab things. Oh, you know where it's really bad? Your tiger's eye or tiger's mouth. Sorry, your tiger's mouth. You know what that
What's
is?
The corner of your mouth.
No, the tiger's mouth is the skin between your thumb and your index finger. If you make a gun, it's that the crescent. You ever cut there, like right in the middle, like a paper cut, and then every time you open your hand, it hurts?
Yeah, any cut between your fingers is not good.
Yeah, bad news bears.
Real bad news bears.
oof, that seems like just about where we should end this, doesn't it?
Talking about bad news bears?
We've hit our contractual obligation.
Joe?
Michael?
It's pick number 9. Who do you think the Rangers get?
That's a great question.
Not who does Joe want. Who does Jeff Gorton want?
No, that's not the question either.
Not who does Jeff Gorton want. Who does Robot Arms
it's
want?
It's who Jeff Gorton is going to end up with. You know what I mean?
Not who does Robot Arms Alain Vigneault want.
I have a gut
who does
and
Jim
I have a heart.
Montgomery Dallas
Which want? One do you want? The gut or the heart?
Give me your gut first.
My honest answer to that question is Hughes. I don't know why. I just think Hughes is going to fall to 9. He's going to be the guy that falls.
Because he's tiny?
Sure. But my gut is telling me it's Boqvist. Honestly, I think the concussion is going to scare some teams off. And for whatever reason, I think – I can't prove this. But guys like Boqvist who have unbelievable numbers in, you know –
You can't prove it.
The lesser leagues of international hockey. Like Boqvist had 24 points in 25 games as a defenseman in the Super Elite, which is like the league below. It's like the junior leagues of Sweden. I think a lot of guys, and it was the under 20 group. I think a lot of scouts look at that and they're like, oh, you know, is his game going to transition over to He only had one assist in 15 games in the SHL. And then they turn around and they look at a guy like Bouchard, who in a much more traditional OHL had 87 points in 67 games. And they think...
But he makes me think of Joel Bouchard.
And they yeah, you said that on the podcast last week. They think, yeah, we got to go after that guy. Even, you know, Hughes, 29 points in 37 NCAA games. There are reasons why I can see these guys fall. My heart is telling me it's going to be Boqvist. My head is telling me it's going to be Hughes, which means it will probably be Dobson.
My gut is telling me it's going to be Farabee.
He's another one that my gut, you know, may touch gently.
Well, thanks for listening, everybody. I hope your own guts gently touch food.
I hope that I guess tips of your fingers touches patreon.com/blueshirtbanter and pledges to us.
Oh, look at
that
you.
That was a great one, wasn't it?
That was pretty fucking good.
There you go again. Anthony Viola, John J. Porter, Alex Gardner, John Reppy, Johnny Lowe, Eric Cohn, Alexander Ricard, Daniel DeGen, Matt Bader, Guy from Montana, 50, Stink Fleeman, Mike Offit, Trevor Kempner, Gabriel Vargas, Dan Carosi, David L. Singer, Andre Chicagoff, Arch Williams, Bob Kawa, Scott Potash, Chris Habibi. Isn't he? That's the guy that you were talking about?
Yes.
The guy that you were talking all kinds of crap about before the show started, that guy?
That's right. I was saying horrible things Chris? About his family and
James Dangles. I was just making that up, Chris. Danny Santiago, Grumpy Smokey, Igor Zatlovsky, Thomas Osa, Chris B., and Michael Silvers. They all donated. So here's the deal, something that I wanted to mention last time. I should have put it at the front of the show. Now that we've gone to a recorded version and we're doing these Q&As, patrons get first crack at questions. So if you are a patron supporter, go to patreon.com/blueshirtbanter. You can send us a message. And if you ask us questions, we will get to them on the podcast for sure. You're guaranteed, so long as it's not
also like, weird. We're thinking about putting a small percentage of the money we get from the Patreon aside and buying a bomb shelter in the event of an apocalypse of some kind. And naturally, there's only going to be so much room in the bomb shelter. And so if you're on the Patreon list, I'm not saying what's going to happen, but we're certainly going to think of those people first.
Yep. I mean, listen, in this post-apocalyptic society where Mike and I have taken a bloodthirsty
We're going to have canned peaches and Lunchables for everybody.
We're going to have to, yeah.
And not tacos, but taco sauce. We're going to be able to put taco sauce on like really hard bread. It's going to, after a while, you get used to it, though.
Yeah.
I mean, it's either that or it's radiation poisoning, so. Buy a Casper mattress. I want one day I really want to just have the amount. I should buy a new mattress. How much does a mattress cost, Joe?
Well, Michael, you can save $50, terms and conditions apply, by using Blue Trip.
How much did Kaylin's baby mattress
cost? Well, Kaylin's is a little bit different. It's a crib that eventually converts into a toddler bed.
It's a transformer.
It is a transformer, yeah. She sleeps on a transformer.
I was really hoping you were going to say that you just use one of Stanley's old beds.
How amazing would that be?
That would be pretty great.
Yeah, we just throw her on the floor. You know, she's covered in dog hair, but she seems happy. So
yeah, you know, we put a couple of cardboard boxes under it, so it's, you know.
Yeah, and she's
some
fine.
Chicken wire around it so she doesn't roll out of bed.
It's all fine.
Thank you for listening, friends. Yeah, Michael Lindquist is a Ranger.
He is.
How many goals does Lindquist score in the AHL or NHL next season, Joe?
Well, those are two very different questions.
If he stays in the AHL, how many goals does he score, Joe?
25.
I'm going to say 26. Ba-da-ba-da.
But I – oh, you won again. You're right. You did. How many goals does he score in the NHL?
I don't know. Why don't you tell me?
No.
Ba-da-ba-da.
He's going to get – if he gets any games in the NHL next year, either something amazing has happened or something horrible has happened.
8 goals.
I was going to say if he scores 5 goals in the NHL next year, it's a huge win.
You say 5, I say 6.
Oh, my God. I want to use the soundboard.
You
so
can't.
Bad.
He paid you. Only I make the sounds now.
He did. Only we make the sounds manually now. Mm-hmm. Okay. This was wonderful.
That's a show.
Mike is a whale. That's a show. Contractually obligated.
Kisses and hugs. Goodbye, everybody.
Good night.